Hey, this is the Magic Band, and you're watching my homeboy, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
The biggest news story of the day is Drew Brees yesterday said that he does not agree with anyone who would disrespect the flag, and there's a lot of blowback, so he apologized. He said, quote, "I would like to apologize to my friends, teammates in the city of New Orleans, the black community, NFL community, and anyone I hurt with my comments yesterday. In speaking with some of you, it breaks my heart to know the pain I have caused." Well, for this topic, we had to bring in none other than Snoop Dogg joining the show. Thank you so much for coming through, Snoop. We're going to start with Drew Brees. What do you think about him walking it back today? Do you think it was a genuine apology?
I think it was a genuine apology because Drew Brees is one that's known to be a giver. He's been given to that community for a while. He's been a New Orleans Saints. And if you know New Orleans is predominantly black. And he's been contributing with Katrina and a lot of the donations that he's been doing. So I believe he just had misinformation. I don't believe he had the right information on what the cause was about. He was speaking from emotions rather than looking at the whole picture as far as everybody else's emotions. And I believe that apology was genuine, but I believe his players are going to handle him though, because that's a locker room thing. I think the black players on this team going to pull him to the side and give him a real lesson and a real understanding on what it is. So that way he'll have more, you know, understanding on what he's speaking on when he's speaking.
Snoop. So a lot of people actually got angry at him. And if that's how he felt, I wasn't angry. For me, I'd rather know where people stand and own it so we could get towards a solution versus everybody being upset at him and possibly giving an apology that he may or may not truly mean.
Well, you know, our first instinct is to, you know, act on impulse and act off a reaction. So a lot of times, even we, you know, overreact. You know, I'm guilty of overreacting a lot of times, and I ask to be forgiven. So I believe it's an overreaction on a lot of fronts, but he was wrong. I'm not saying that he wasn't, you know, he was wrong for what he said because he was insensitive to what we go through as black people every day, as black men every day, and what Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for. He wasn't kneeling about the flag and the soldiers. He was kneeling about police brutality. If you check all of the files of Colin Kaepernick's first initial kneel and protest, it was strictly a peaceful protest to stop police brutality. And it continues to happen to this day.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because there is the Colin Kaepernick, but, you know, the three of us are a little older than that. We remember Rodney King and that unrest back then and obviously the unrest from this weekend in Los Angeles. So coming from that perspective, how do you sort of compare and contrast the two over time?
Well, the Rodney King thing was, you know, that was the first time we had footage to show that police brutality actually happens. You know, we was always saying it in raps and speaking on it in the community, but we wasn't believable because we had no footage and we had nothing to prove our case in court. But once that footage came out and then it went to court, to an all-white court where they found them not guilty, that sent the black community in an uproar. So it was like we had to do something. And I was a part of that movement because I felt like if I didn't say nothing or do nothing, it was going to continue to happen. And through those movements and actions that we did, we made steps to get better with the police enforcement. We made steps to get better with interaction. And I just feel like this is the next step. This death of George Floyd, rest in peace, is a terrible incident, but it's going to bring some resolution because look at the conversation now. Look at how people are understanding what's going on and they want information. And if they don't know, we check them and get them in line quick, fast, on a hurry line.
Thank you for always using your platform to be a voice of leadership and reason, even when it's unpopular. And I know you saw multiple athletes and entertainers getting involved in the movement after the death of George Floyd and the new I Can't Breathe movement. How important is it for people to lend their voices now more than ever?
Well, it's important if it's in you. If it's not in you, it's really not important. But if it's in you, it's something that you thrive to do, something that you wake up and you want to do. It's not by accident that the big name athletes and the big name entertainers and rappers are coming together and speaking and using their platform. Don't nobody call us and ask us to do it. We do it because we feel the feeling and it's contagious. And once you feel the feeling, it spreads. And One thing about people, once you put something in the air and it's good for your heart and your soul, eventually it catches on. And love is the only thing that can kill this hate.
Well, Snoop, we really appreciate your powerful words on this subject, but we got to talk to you about another subject. The Los Angeles Lakers, okay? We now know. It has been confirmed. We know what teams are going down there to Orlando. You know, we know a little bit about the format. So my simple question to
you. He's so excited, got his smoke in the air and everything.
What team do you feel is the biggest threat to your Lakers of the 22 down in Orlando?
The Lakers. We are our biggest threat. We ain't worrying about nobody. We got to take care of our business. If we take care of our business and do the things that we need to do as a team, we don't worry about them. From watching that Last Dance documentary, it helped me understand the dynamics of getting ready for championship basketball. You can't worry about the other team. You got to worry about yourself and make sure that everybody's clicking on all cylinders, making sure everybody's healthy, everybody's communicating and loving each other and being there for each other. And I think that this rest time got us right physically, mentally, and it sharpened up, you know, our skills as far as being able to say that, okay, now let's look at the big picture. We ain't been in the playoffs in 6 years. We don't even know what this feels like no more. But we got a driver like LeBron James that don't know what it feels like to not be in the playoffs. So this is a different thing. We just got to follow his lead and look at AD and look at the coach and look at the whole situation and say, let's take advantage of this Florida trip. This is a trip to bring home that chip.
Absolutely. And Snoop, so I've lived in L.A. since 94. Jacoby lived out there. You the OG, 10 toes down since day one. Can you please speak to the casual fan that believes now that they have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and they get in a new arena that the Clippers can one day be the team of Los Angeles? Can you squash that for me, please?
Well, first of all, I got to give a shout out to Paul George, to Patrick Beverley, Doc Rivers, Kawhi Leonard, the whole Clippers team. Them are little brothers. And I love the way they've been doing their thing and the way that they're putting the feeling back in the air and, you know, doing what they're doing to make basketball entertaining. But there's one important piece of the puzzle that you got to have in order to really walk that walk and talk that talk. And that's those banners that they cover up every time that they have a home game. Because it is what it is. Yeah, and it's a whole lot of covering up because they're everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So that's why they need to get their own arena so that way they can start their brand new. And if they do get a banner, it'll be there by itself and not lost in the shuffle with all our banners.
So he just reminded me of something. Do the statues be out there when they playing?
They don't move the statues.
Jalen, you better be able to put that statue on the walk.
No, so my memory ain't the best since you started sending me packages. I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Jalen's about to be on one of those statues. Jalen's about to be in Kobe's statue getting a jump shot scored right over him.
I got a question, though, Jalen Rose. I got a question for you, Jalen. I played with Tupac, with Biggie, with Nipsey, some of the greatest to ever do it. You played against Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. That's the equivalent to me being with the greatest rappers. What is that feeling like knowing that you played with some of the greatest to ever do this and you competed on a high level against them?
And Snoop respectfully got torched by them and saw their greatness. Like in the Last Dance, everybody was enjoying MJ's greatness. I'm watching it like we was up 15 in the second quarter. This dude laying on the couch with a pot belly smoking cigars in the locker room. We should have beat them. That's what I'm thinking. And for a guy like Kobe, it was just so great to play against MJ in his final chip and Kobe in his first chip and watch how he ascended. And it happened, I think, in game 4 at Indiana when he hit those two jumpers in OT and he did the get down and lay down, looked over at Phil Jackson, and everybody started doing it. And obviously the time he scored 81, he put the smack down on our Raptors. And the great game that I still see footage of you scoring 60 in his final game. How does a dude score 60 points in his final game? Snoop, what was that atmosphere like?
Man, we knocked the Jazz out the playoffs. That's the part that people keep missing. They was on their way to the playoffs. So they didn't lay down. They wasn't trying to give Kobe 61. They was really trying to go get that extra paycheck. But Kobe was like, look here, man, tonight's the night. And the fellas kept feeding him the rock. when you getting fed the rock like that, you know how to handle the rock, man, that zone gonna turn on and it ain't gonna turn off. And he just went to work on it. It was one of the greatest fights I ever seen.
No, Jay, I got one more question for you. You're talking about Jalen going head to head with some of the greatest to ever do it. And you know, during the quarantine, these versus battles have been heating up. And you're one of the greatest to ever do it. Who would you like to go head to head with in a versus battle during the pandemic on Instagram?
Whoever wanted with me, because you know me, I stay locked and loaded. I got 20 bangers ready to go anytime, all the time. I ain't finna call no names because they know who they is and they know who
there's
I
only
am.
A, so there's only a handful. There's only a handful that would be a legitimate contest.
It needs to be a heavyweight fight. This ain't no middleweight or no featherweight. This need to be a heavyweight fight.
This is just like what we were saying about LeBron and Kobe and MJ. They're only so Snoop, we really only talk about like three people, really. So right. You just narrowed it down for us. Really.
I'm all in. Swiss Beast Timberland, I'm all in. Get me in the ring. I get out with anybody. I have no calls. The only calls I know is Santa Claus.
Swiss up.
Snoop, I want to say thank you so much for coming through on Jalen and Jacoby. You are welcome to come back anytime. We appreciate you so much for taking the time. We'll be
and
back.
Now, y'all
gave just 2 minutes.
What they want today.
Stay tuned.
Give them what they need.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. I want to thank Snoop Dogg for coming through. We have exclusive content with Snoop Dogg on our podcast. Make sure you listen to that. And Jalen, we've been doing this show a long time, and all the years we've been doing this show, you've always had a picture on your side of the studio behind you, and that picture is of the what is known as the Ali Summit, which is very important during the current climate now, and it happens to be the 53rd anniversary of that very important day in Cleveland. Why do you always want that behind you?
Because my favorite athletes of all time are in the same place at the same time, being politically, socially relevant and conscious. That is the Ali Summit. When Muhammad Ali refused to go to the military, and in order to do so, forfeited his career for 4 years, including his championship belt. And the gentleman sitting next to him on his left, that's Jim Brown, the greatest lacrosse player and running back that football has seen. And the other guy on his left, that's the young Lou Alcindor. And on the other side, that's Bill Russell, the greatest champion that sports has seen. And all of those guys made it possible for us to be more than just jocks.
Well, Jalen, one thing I want to say is I'm so proud to be your partner here in this program because you didn't just put that picture behind you in the last week or so. You have had that picture behind you for the entire run of this show. And in the same theme, I found this tweet very interesting by a gentleman of the name Mikey Williams. You may not know his name yet, but you will because he is one of the top prospects going into his senior year in high school. And he tweeted, he's going to an HBCU wouldn't be too bad, .. Jalen, do you think in today's society, a top prospect like him would forego going to one of the classic big basketball schools and join an HBCU team?
Not only is it going to happen, it should happen. And I hope Mikey Williams is really the first modern day athlete to do so. There was a time when the great players and high draft picks like Earl the Pearl Monroe actually went to HBCUs. And now all of a sudden, with players being able to benefit off their name, image, and likeness in the NCAA, with G League and overseas now being an option, with the coronavirus and a pandemic, you're not really knowing what's going to happen to the normal landscape of collegiate basketball, I would definitely consider it if I was a player. And also, let me just tell you this. You will have so much more fun, Mikey. It ain't even close.
Thank you so much for that insight, Mr. Rose. When we come back, we know the Wizards are going to come back and play NBA basketball, but will John Wall? Jalen will tell us right after this. Stick around. 2 minutes. We're back. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. The Woj has confirmed the 22 teams that will be headed to Orlando to play real NBA basketball. It is the 16 teams plus some extras, only one extra from the East, and that is the Wizards. And I ask you this, Jalen, with the opportunity to play their way into the playoffs, will we see John Wall play for the Wizards come late July?
So I saw an interview with him saying that he was healthy. And then I looked down at the standings and realized they were ninth in the conference. And I asked myself, if I was him, would I come back during the coronavirus amidst a pandemic after I've been out for so very long with such an injury? The answer is no. So therefore, I don't believe we see John Wall this year after all.
Dan Le Batard is next. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you listen to the podcast. I want to thank Snoop Dogg for coming by as well.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you, like animal control when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We always say we give the people what they want, and that's exclusive content because the executives watch the television show. But when you got Snoop Dogg on, you got to do podcast exclusive. You got to go unfiltered, and you got to take off the training wheels. Okay, the executives don't listen to the podcast, Snoop. So feel free to speak freely. All right. The first thing I want to talk to you about. So now we're not on TV now, right? So I'm gonna name some names that you could be that I would consider worthy of a versus battle with you, just worthy of a versus battle. Jay-Z. Nas.
Five star.
I'm trying to think of hit makers. I mean, no one's
this next one's gonna be controversial. Keep naming people because I couldn't. I'm trying to think on his reaction when you said the next couple.
Who's got the catalog? Eminem, 50 Cent. They'd have to tag team against you, like that.
But them is my. That's the same family tree. That's the family tree. Like boxers don't box. People in their family tree.
That's a good point. Yeah, he's like, y'all train at the same gym. That's a good point.
Come on now, Jalen. You know you come from a boxing town. Knock it off. You come from that gym and all that, man.
Emmanuel was not having that. I got one worthy for you.
We get Andre 3000 and Big Boy in the same shot, Outkast up against Snoop Dogg. About that.
Outkast got heat. Now they got heat. Yeah. You got to look at it like this. When you do the versus battle, it's not just your songs. It's songs that you've been on, songs that you produced, songs that you wrote, songs that you are hooked on. Like, for example, like I wrote all of G-Thang. I wrote a song for Warren G called This DJ. I wrote a couple of songs that for artists over here that I could use that don't even have my vocals on it. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like those are things that you can add to the table too. So when you bringing up people like Andre 3000, he done been on a lot of guest features where he done killed everybody on the song. That's what he known
That's
for.
A good point.
It's dope to have this conversation with Snoop because I'm really like, I there can't be over six people that are worthy of this conversation. What about, I'm trying to think of somebody who had like hit records after hit records. What about Dog versus Dog? Snoop
now, DMX
versus DMX.
That's groovy like a drive-in movie, but we love each other too much. Like, the thing about me and him, like, we friends. Like, you know what I'm saying? But we, like, dog on dog, Lord have mercy. Arf, 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 all Latin. Ooh, that would be something nasty.
Oh, I love that idea. Because it's very different styles, too. Just very different styles, but on the same parallel plane. I would love that. Let's make that happen. You know what? Jalen, go text Swift.
And also, here's the thing about both of those artists. And I'm glad we're on the pod. I could say this because it's different parts of my life. I remember them as artists, right? So I remember when Snoop first came out, I looked at him as being young because he was standing next to Dre. But I for a long time, I didn't realize he was older than me because Snoop was always like cool. You know what I'm saying? And so when I first seen him on Deep Cover and hitting his verses and bars, like he came with the storytelling and the bars from a West Coast perspective. Like, he graduated what I was listening to from Ice-T. And Cube was doing it with America's Most Wanted over my shoulder. So it's like, to watch his ascension then, this is the early 90s. Right now it's 2020. It is 2020. And for the entire 90s, I would say either Snoop or DMX had the number one song for like 10 straight years. Am I making this up? DMX had,
like it is.
Right, he had As Dark As Hell As Hot was his first one. The Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood. And then he had the movie joint. Y'all was both doing movies. He had the Aaliyah. You was doing the movies with Dre and The Wash.
Man, let me tell you about DMX. We had a tour called the Rock the Mic Tour, right? And we had a tour that Jay-Z and them put together. DMX was killing everybody on that tour. And he wasn't even the headliner. He was coming out there praying and crying and being emotional and killing it with his bomb songs, taking his shirt off, 100 Rough Riders with him, dogs on stage, motorcycles. He had a stage show. And people that went on after him was in trouble.
I remember that. I remember the tour they did when Red and Meth would open up and they would fly up in the air and like they had
that's
that.
That's the tour
and then,
I'm talking about. That's yeah, the tour yeah. I'm talking about.
And
Red
DMX,
and Meth
DMX.
Went on before him. They went on yes. before him. They was cool. I'm talking about
I was
went
there.
On after him.
Oh, I know. And he didn't have a
Go
hype man. DMX didn't
Go
have a hype man. He did everything himself. Oh,
check
I loved
and
it.
See who was on after him. They had problems.
Wow.
Big problems. And I let me tell you another person that I had problems with on stage going on after Busta Rhymes.
Busta, what it is right now?
Hey,
he got energy.
He is a killer. Like to go on after him, he leaves you
mad energy, lyrics, pace.
He scored 50 points a game and 20 rebounds and 13 assists because he got flipped.
Russell Westbrook and KG. He KG and Russell Westbrook.
He got split star with him, and they be hit the ticket like him. I hate going on stage after him. 10 years in a row, I used to tell the promoters, "Man, why don't you switch me up?" Man, they like, "No, nah, man, yo, your record's bigger. I don't want to hear that." He ain't leaving no stage, man.
I got a Snoop question. So, like, I remember being in L.A. mid-90s. That's when I first got drafted. John McClane is my godfather. And so
I
as
love
you guys
John
continue,
McClane.
That's my godfather, okay? He that dude for those that don't know. And so I used to directly and or indirectly be around you guys, like Death Row parties and stuff right. like that. And, like, you guys were the mega group that to me took artists from staying, watching where athletes lived to actually living in the suburbs. Cause y'all was getting real money. So like, I'm talking about as a collective. Mm-hmm. So can you just embody what was it like to be around like so many mega figures in the game? You got Suge, you got Dre, you got Dog Pound, you got Tupac. Like, that's just like one of Jacoby's movies. What movies you watch? Super Friends, Jacoby, or one of those movies? It's like that. Heroes all in
know,
the same
you know
place
what,
at the
though,
same
Jalen,
time.
You know what, Jalen? When you playing with an all-star team, you just playing your role. When you was with the Fab Five, y'all knew y'all was the whole thing. But y'all just did your thing. Like, we knew we was the whole thing, and we just did what we did. Like, we all stayed focused at that time. Suge stayed in his lane as far as being a businessman. Dr. Dre was the producer. Snoop Dogg was the writer. All the other rappers was great rappers. We all played our role. It was a pecking order where we earned that pecking order. When we all came in, we was even. By the end of the first record, Snoop Dogg was the one. Because of work ethic. But I pushed them, and they pushed me. RBX was my cousin, where I could never beat him rapping in a battle, but on a song, he pushed me to a limit. Me and Corrupt Freestyle, that's how we battled. We battled and met each other on the streets. So when I got a deal, I made sure he got a deal. Daz is my little cousin. So all of these people is like people that I played with, that I felt comfortable with. And once we started having success, that's what the business side with Suge Knight and Dr. Dre, they were more professionalized as far as knowing what to do with money. We didn't know what to do with money. We were like young athletes that get a check. We're going to blow it on a chain or a car, buy my mama a house, and then I'm broke in 3 weeks. Like, they had to show us to get an accountant, to get, you know, your taxes, put 25% for taxes, to get you a house that you own, to buy, you know what I'm saying? So it was like it was being taught. It wasn't like we knew, and we just had good people around us like John McClane and Jimmy Iovine and, you know, great people that would, you know, put us in the right lane and say, hey, you know, the way we do business is this way. You know, y'all can keep y'all money in y'all shoebox under your bed if you want to, but we like to put ours in the bank.
Snoop, we got to let you go right now because we got to make sure we get the TV show to air, but I want to take everybody behind the curtain. We had some tech problems, and Snoop Dogg sat here with us, waiting with us for 40 minutes, man. That's a real one. We really appreciate that from you, man. It means a lot to us. You're welcome to come back anytime. You got a parking spot right here on Jalen Jacoby on ESPN. Anytime.
Hey, man, y'all gave the people what they want, man.